On Midwest Week, a follow-up to the tragic death of a Quad Cities veteran last year. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Barb Ikus, columnist for the Quad City Times. Just about a year ago, Barb, you wrote about the death of Brandon Ketchum, and how did you find out about him?
I came into my office. He died on July 8th, and it was either the 9th or 10th. I came in, and I had three or four email that all contained the same link to a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And each one was, they were readers, and they were family members or knew Brandon or family members somehow, and they were flagging me to his post on Facebook in which he basically indicated that the VA didn't care about him. Why should he care about himself? And of course, it was hours later that he committed suicide.
And when did he serve overseas, and do we know how he was injured when he was serving?
He did three tours. Mm-hmm. He was either Afghanistan 2 and Iraq 1 or the other way around. He was with the Army for two tours. He was diagnosed with PTSD after his second deployment, but he then went and signed up with the Marine Corps for a third deployment. So when he deployed that third time, he was already being treated for PTSD.
Okay.
As far as an injury, he had multiple injuries, blast injuries, where he was thrown and hurt his leg and his back. Mm-hmm. And during his last deployment, there was a possible TBI, traumatic brain injury. They quasi-diagnosed that. I mean, they said probably. Mm-hmm. And through the injuries, he was given narcotic pain medication, which contributed to his problems in the end because he became addicted to
heroin. And what do we know about his final days in July of last
year? Well, heroin was a problem for him then, and he knew it. Mm-hmm. And he went to the VA. He had an appointment. He was frustrated about how long it took him to get in. But he did go for his psych appointment with Dr. Miller, and he asked to be admitted. He indicated, according to his medical records and according to the family, he told them that if he wasn't admitted, he was going to go and use heroin again. Mm-hmm. And he had overdosed on heroin previously. He knew he was in trouble. Unfortunately, the conversation with Dr. Miller evidently started with Dr. Miller saying that he probably would not get in, that the unit was full, that he probably wouldn't be admitted. Mm-hmm. What the report has shown is that Brandon became very frustrated by that, and he left that appointment after just a few minutes. He went to his car. The doctor followed him to his car. By then, he was done. Mm-hmm. He'd heard enough, and he left the appointment.
Okay. So a year later, there's been an investigation by the VA Inspector General. What did anyone learn from all this?
It didn't take long after Brandon's death. I believe it was in August that a congressional delegation, including Iowa's, asked for this investigation. What they discovered was, and it took them a year. It took the Office of the Inspector General a year to look at it all. The conclusion was that some things weren't done quite by the book, but that there was really no way to determine whether that contributed to his death. Mm-hmm. The one thing that leapt out at me was that the doctor had indicated that he didn't have time to do a proper psych evaluation on Brandon because he left that meeting. Mm-hmm. But he'd already told him no. That's the part that stuck out to me, and that's the part that troubles some of his family to this day, is if he hadn't done the psych evaluation, why tell him no? And that's obviously the thing that upset him.
But if the unit was full, would a psych evaluation have mattered?
Sure, I mean, yeah. There are other places for our veterans to go besides the VA in Iowa City. That's the rule is, if we don't have room, we'll find a place.
So he could have been admitted somewhere else.
He could have, yes.
Okay. What other, now the term that they used in the report was shortcomings. What other sort of shortcomings did the report identify?
Well, one of the things that they failed to do for him was to assign a coordinator, somebody who oversees all of his care. Because, boy, if you look at his medical records, you can see the volumes of information and evaluations and who talked to him and was it home care and was it group meetings. And somebody has to corral all of that and to make sense of it. Well, when he moved from one group of the VA, one section of the VA to another, the coordinator went away and they never assigned another one. And that was a mistake. Another one of the problems was that there wasn't proper follow-up when he missed meetings. There's a very specific policy that says when a veteran misses a meeting, doesn't show up, there's to be follow-up. In fact, there are supposed to be several efforts to contact, and then there's supposed to be a record of it, and that didn't always happen either.
Now, does the VA say, you know, we have these rules in place, we wish that we could follow them better, but we're just so deluged with people, it's hard?
You know, I read that entire report, and I didn't see any of those trigger words like overwhelmed or volume or anything mm-hmm. like that. They didn't say, and in fact, I think they were careful not to say that this happened or that things went wrong because we were too busy. That didn't happen. I mean, we know that the VA has a tremendous volume of people and more every day to deal with, but they didn't say that. They said, you know, this could have been done and that could have been done. But what they also demonstrated in that report was the tremendous amount of care Brandon did get over the years. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had a record. There were multiple suicide attempts. They got into what medications he was taking and the home care he was getting and the number of times he used the suicide hotline. So he had a tremendous roster there.
Do you get the idea that he was seeing the same psychiatrist each time, or was it just whoever was available when he had an appointment? I mean, was there some sort of, maybe not coordination, but some continuum of care, some people that knew him that would see him each time?
I did. And I read in the report that there were several references to how familiar the staff was with him. Mm-hmm. I do think that they strive for continuity in care, and I know that he saw Dr. Miller many times. I don't know if there was another one involved. They didn't reference other specific appointments with mm-hmm. specific doctors. But I did acquire through a Freedom of Information request his entire medical record, and it was thousands of pages, some from visits, some from follow-up calls. Mm-hmm. He saw a lot of people.
Now, the report also talked about the last visit with the doctor, the one where he walked out early. And the doctor or the report said that the doctor did not have complete information. What was that about?
It's because Brandon walked out.
Oh, okay.
He didn't get to do that day a thorough psych evaluation mm-hmm. to find out the suicide risk. I think those are their buzzwords, the suicide risk evaluation, where they determine, you know, gee, maybe we better find a spot for him. That didn't get to happen because he left in frustration.
Okay. And what about family and friends? Have they said anything yet about the Inspector General's report?
They're disappointed. Mm-hmm. They're realistic as well. The one point that Brandon's brother Brad, also a combat veteran, by the way, has made was that given the time to do that psych evaluation, had he been admitted, it probably would have saved his life this time. Mm-hmm. And that's the qualifier, because he was really, really struggling.
Yeah, and it sounded like from what you said that he'd tried several times before that to kill himself as well.
Yeah, yeah. And he'd been in a good place for a long time, and he had very recently, prior to his suicide, gone into what he described as a dark place. And that was frequent for him, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
And following this report from the VA Inspector General, do you get the idea that anything will change? I mean, will there be more coordination? Have they set up any procedures that you know of to ensure that these rules are followed?
Well, the VA responded to that report by saying, you bet, we will follow through with these recommendations. So I don't doubt that they'll be, you know, more careful with making sure that if a coordinator is dropped out of a patient's program that another one is assigned, since that didn't happen, I'm sure they'll be more thorough in their follow-up calls. I think they're going to take the report very seriously.
And what about readers? Do you get the idea that they're interested in this story? They're engaged with what you've been writing?
Yes, and it's unique because I don't really think of this story at this point as a two-side story. Mm-hmm. And I've heard from probably two dozen readers since last Friday, and many of them said, what a terrible shame that we treat our veterans this way. And others said, well, gee, it looks like they did what they could.